Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
This fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at MinkyCouture.com.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
And joining me on the podcast right now, of course, in video, it's John Heumann, and we're looking at, is it weekly, bi-weekly? I've lost track because I've been away for a while, but Vox Screen Stocks. We haven't done it for a while, have we? Because I've been away.
No, we haven't.
So it's nice to have a break and stuff. Yeah.
Centre Parks, man.
You know, you've never been to Centre Parks, have you?
I haven't, no. I've always been put off by the price.
Yeah, well, do you know what? We literally do a sort of crafty thing where my wife sort of books, I think it's almost a day before the holidays. And the price has got crazy after that, you know, day. Sort of, but it's very sort of, it's funny, we've done it so many times now, but it's very rent-a-rent. You book for 4 days or five, depending on which, if you carry the weekend. And you're not allowed on the park, so literally at 3 p.m, everyone queues up to get onto their sites next to the lodges, and they all drop off their stuff in the lodges, and you take the car back to the car park. And it's pretty much a pedestrianised area then. So the kids are on bikes and the dogs and all that. There's indoor swimming pools and slides and all that. It's good, but it's never quiet. And I've often looked in it and thought, who owns this? And it is a private recre company, or it was for a while. But yeah, I was thinking, this is it's never quiet, ever. And it's a great business to have. I'm just thinking, and they always rent out. I thought, I wonder if they would actually sell the lodges off and they wouldn't get rental in from them. But I mean, there's no point, I suppose. They rent them out all the time, no problem whatsoever. But yeah, it's a great business. And but you can't invest in it. That's the trouble, unless you're...
No, well, there's a lot of companies like that now. You know, a lot of companies are choosing to remain private because they don't need public equity markets. It is a big problem. It's something that's called de-equitization. You are actually seeing a lot more of this. You know, the stock market's shrinking and privately owned businesses are actually staying private for longer, in fact, possibly ever, you know. So yeah,
that's,
there is...
That's worrying, isn't it? So surely that will come a point where, you know, like I said, it's a lot of it sentiment, and we've seen very, you know, small amount of IPOs, and I think the height of the IPO was probably 18 months ago now, wasn't it? The market top, and then all those have pretty much suffered. But it must get this stage where, you know, sentiment will change. I don't know where that is. We've had a bounce off the bottom on most indices, but I do think we're going to trade in a range for a while now. I don't think we're going to be back to like I said, you know, I said on a weekend podcast with friends of mine, I said the thing with the great financial crash, even though it was quite worrisome what was happening, you know, the implosion of the sort of the banking sector, it was ultimately sort of fixable quite quickly by just the central bank saying we're going to backstop all these banks, is fine, none of them are going to go through, and all of a sudden the worry dissipated overnight. Now with inflation they can't do that, you know, they can't just say we're going to fix it now, it'll be done overnight. As we've seen from the, you know, CPI figures today, everyone's predicting 9.8% going down below 10% for the year inflation figures, and it didn't. 10.1 from down from 10.4, yeah, but it's so sticky. But is it hard? Is it fixed? And I think it'll be around for a while, but it seems like UK is more sticky than anywhere else. Why is that?
Well, we're an importer of so many things.
Yeah.
You know, we import energy, you know, we import oil, we don't produce a great deal of oil. We import a great deal of food. I think sort of 60% of our food is imported, at least. You know, we import raw materials if we need to manufacture anything. We import most of our manufactured goods because we don't really have a manufacturing industry. We lost a lot of labour as a result of Brexit. And, you know, whatever you think of Brexit, labour from Eastern Europe was a wage suppressant. So now you've got wage inflation creeping into the system. So, yeah, I mean, it's a perfect storm. And the UK is not well positioned for it. We knew this was coming. You know, we knew that we were susceptible to these problems in this way for a long time. But, you know, successive governments, in fact, one government, in fact, most of that period have done not a great deal. I mean, arguably going back to the financial crisis, the fix then is partly behind the problems we have now.
And everyone said, didn't they, we don't know the outcome of quantitative easing. It's never been happened, never tried before in Western democracies. And it may, you know, stoke inflation. And I suppose what we maybe not learn from that is that... they said, you know, the lag factor is a bit worrying. And right now, I think, if they keep ratcheting up, you know, interest rates, there will be a lag factor. And we don't know how long this lag factor takes. So that's quite worrying. I think it was Russell Mould, come on, as an economist, was saying, you know, normally it'll take 12 to 18 months before you get any sort of effect happening. And, of course, if you're holding interest rates up higher for longer... that'll go on for longer and longer. So it's worrying. It's almost like it's trying to stumbling around in the mist, trying to find something. You know, are we there? Have we got it? Is that it? You know, and not realizing you're using your hands to feel things. And you're walking a bit blind into things. It's a bit worrying. So at the moment, I'm still, you know, I've got a decent amount of cash. And I'm largely more interested in dividend stocks. And I think the indices will go up and down like this for a while. So when they come down, I think I'll see any sort of good dividend payers and accumulate those. But I'm a bit wary on everything else, you know. I don't think we'll have these. We'll have some rallies in some of the micro caps up and down. But I don't think we'll have a quick recovery in the market for a while.
Well, dividends have been really what saved, you know, my portfolio this year. So I have been, you know, as we've spoken about before, very much in cash, probably sort of 80% in the investment portfolio. But what I have bought, things like Unilever, which has done very well on a total return basis, but you know, dividends have been a big chunk of that. I bought an investment trust called City of London Investment Trust, just a sort of very general FTSE All Share Trust. Again, paid out big dividends. Even BT, which in capital terms is down, you know, the dividends have really brought that back up. So actually my portfolio over the last, you know, since I started running it after leaving the Investors Chronicle is actually up. So I'm all right. But it is, dividends have done the heavy lifting there, for sure. Yeah.
Exactly. And to me, it's almost, well, coming back from, you know, last 18 months, I just want, in fact, I think the last quarter, the first quarter in many quarters where my portfolio value has gone up and I haven't been fully invested. I'm glad, really, because we've seen a bit of volatility. But, I think that's the way forward. I'll be sort of ploughing into dividends for a while and just not wanting to make a loss like, you know, it's happened in the last 18 months. Even if it's a minimal gain, it's better than just losing. So I think more people are settling for like dividend paying stocks rather than going for the rockets and all that stuff, you know.
That's it. I've taken a safety first approach, and it's really helped me out. But at some point, we're going to have to turn to growth, and you know, dividends will, you know, your reinvestment and that compounding effect, you know, has a huge impact over the long term on returns. But I want some excitement in the portfolio, so I am on the lookout.
And also, like I said, you know, we got, even though we sound a bit bearish, it is a stock market. So, you know, market of stocks. There'll be companies that will do well regardless. You know, some of the best companies in the world were formed in recessions and they've grown ever since. And so, it's worth looking around at these sectors. So, this screener, what is it, John? What's the screener this week?
It's really a classic momentum screen. So, you know, a really strong factor in equity returns is momentum. So, you know, the idea that shares that have been rising will keep on rising. And the period over which I've looked at that is 3 months. That's a sort of the general, you know, rule of thumb for looking at momentum, positive momentum. But I've chucked in an EPS momentum filter in there as well. So I don't just want companies whose share price is rising. I want to know that their earnings are rising and forecast to rise as well. And that's it. And we're looking 10 to 250 million. I want a minimum 5% forecast EPS change next year.
Okay, cool. Do you know, I looked through these. We've mentioned a few of these before.
We have.
I want to go with something I've not... I would never... I don't think I've ever invested in this company. But I thought, I look at it, and I thought, oh, hang on, I covered those recently on, you know, three companies rising on Good News. I do a podcast just covering it. And I look for companies that... I genuinely think in this market, what we do is look for companies that are rising on Good News, not just one-off news on, a potential contract or that, but something that's more sustainable, you know, and then maybe researching it and putting your watch list. So... And I think in sort of bear markets or in volatile markets, like I said, always look for momentum, look for companies that are rising, that will continue to rise rather than the other way around, because it's okay sort of, you know, buying the dip in a bull market because it is a dip. But if you buy the dip in a bear market, it's likely a downtrend you're buying, and it could carry on in that downtrend, so you're better off going momentum. And in fact, this company was mentioned, and it's something I would never invest in, I don't think, because it's just literally, it's just not my thing. But I mean, it's Renault. Do you know R-N-O. Do you know what they do?
Yeah, chains for bicycles, for motorbikes, isn't it?
Yeah, all kinds of... Renault, I love the way they're trying to be exciting on their website. They've got pictures of roller coasters and stuff like that. Renault innovates in delivering the highest precision engineered powered transmission products. So powered transmission products. Our market-leading products can be seen in diverse applications from cement making to chocolate manufacturing, subway trains, power trains, escalators, quarries. So everything, like gears and chains, anything like that... They pretty much do, yeah.
Cogs.
Something needs cogs, yeah, cogs and chains. It doesn't get much more boring than that. Anywhere something needs to be lifted, moved, rotated, or conveyed, they can do it. They go from tooth chains, transmission drive, gears, gearboxes, couplings, clutches, all that stuff. But anyway, they came out with a sort of trading update. And very rarely, and I thought, this doesn't make sense in this era. But I thought... Doesn't matter. The financials are quite good. They're going to be. They come up with a trading update for the year ended the 31st of March, and they said they're pleased to provide a trading update covering the year ahead of the announcement of the company's product. Anyway, so they had strong momentum, and they are 26% up on revenue for the year at 247 million. What are they market cap wise? They're about.
They are 61 million.
Yeah, 61 million. 247. And the order intake's up, everything's up. They say everything's up pretty much. And they say as a result of stronger sales and the impact of the acquisition, net debt, they've got a bit of debt, but it's come down by about 4 million to 29 million. But they say, what do they say there? The underlying trading profit and margin for full year 2023 will be materially ahead of the previous upwardly revised market expectations. So they revise them up, and it'll be ahead of that again. I thought, okay, they're doing something right. And even if you look at the figures, I mean, people are obviously not believing what they're doing because the P/E ratio is very low, you know, and they've got growth there, they're profitable. And I just think, what's the problem here? And I don't know much about it, but, you know, price to free cash flow is very good, price to sales is good, valuation's very good. Okay, growth is not, you know, knock out of the park great, but they are generating profit. And their margins aren't going to be huge because they're a manufacturing company. Mm. But I think they seem quite stable. And even going back, you know, many years, they've seemed to have grown the top line consistently. And I thought, it doesn't make sense if we're going to recession. But there again, they aren't highly valued in any way. So how much further down can they go? So, and also, like I said, the share price has been rallying a little bit. But it's a company... But I thought, I haven't heard, I'll just look out, I've heard of a little bit, I wouldn't probably buy, but I'm just saying it's had a big rally from, where's that, the dash for cash back in 2020 went down to 7 pence, it's rallied to 30-odd pence, 35 pence, it's come down, and now it seems to be going in a trading range, so I think if you can sort of pick it up at the bottom of the trading range, and they're doing well, which is about 21 pence, it's probably quite good value here, and so...
Yeah.
I'm assuming they've got plenty of contracts because, you know, decent revenue on that. But, I just think quite bullish outlook and they seem bullish looking forward. But it's one of those things that Buffett says, buy boring. If you can buy boring, that's the whole thing because there are plenty of stocks out there exciting. But trouble is they can, scare you out of the position. Anyway, I don't know what you know about Renault. But
not a great deal, yeah. Apart from the fact that it makes chains.
It's one of those ones you've got to think... I know on the website they try to make it sound exciting. Anything that needs doing, we do it. Anything, no, it's a boring engineering company. But who knows? It could, you know, it could do quite well. But
these things are going to be important. You know, certainly in the energy transition, there's a lot of rethinking about how you know power is transmitted, how vehicles work, how machinery is powered. So you know, it could be a company that's in the right place for, you know, the sort of technologies of the future that we're going to need to get to net zero.
Yeah, yeah. And they say, by the way, in their note there, company compiled market consensus for 2023 revenue, underlying profit and underlying profit for tax is, so top line is going to be 238 million, 19.8 million that's operating profit, and 14.3 million profit for tax. Now, like I said, they are, you know, 70 million market cap.
It's 4.4 times forecast PE. I mean, it's, you know, it's under the radar.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, there we are.
Speaking of which, so I'm going under the radar as well.
Go on then, what are you going for?
So I'm going for a company called Kinovo.
I just looked at those, yeah, and I've sort of come across them before, but not much. But they do seem to be having some decent contracts landed, don't they?
Yeah, so some biggies. Contract with Waltham Forest Council, $4 million over 2 years, property maintenance. Contract with a company called Hyde Group, $12 million over 5 years. It's sort of social housing, care provision, that sort of stuff. And basically what this company does, it used to be called Bilby.
Yeah.
Then it changed its name a year or so ago, perhaps a little bit more, to Kinovo. Now, Bilby had problems, and it had a problem construction division. and, you know, if you look back at the long-term share price, it's not a pretty picture. But it's sort of what they've done is brought in a new chief exec in 2019, a guy called Dave Bullen, disposed of that construction division. There's still a few, you know, lingering liabilities, but that's the problem area, because we know what happened. You know, you put a contract in place and the cost overruns and it becomes a nightmare. And now what they're doing is focusing on three things: property services, mainly for sort of community housing, social housing, renewables and regeneration projects. And these things are in the sweet spot of government policy. You know, we're expecting, you know, relatively modest growth in the years ahead, but we can see a lot of that revenue. We've got 146 million in the order book over the next 3 years, which is big. The turnover growth forecast is not that high. So having delivered 30 million in the first half, they're only forecast to make 62 this year. So not a lot of work to do in the second half, 64 in 2024, which, given the visibility, you think they're going to hit. Relatively low margins, but you know, focusing on these service things, service side of things, you know, has brought them up a bit, eight and a bit percent. So not terrible. And we're all for a PE of 6.7 for 2023. So I kind of like this. It's a bit of a turnaround story, but it seems to be in the right areas, you know, given we are in the middle of a housing crisis, given that social housing provision, you know, has many problems which need to be resolved. You know, the burden on landlords, who they also serve, you know, to provide a sort of regulatory compliance is high. So, yeah, this is an interesting one.
Yeah. And I suppose, you know, if we're worried about growth, you know, going forward, certain companies or the country as a whole, it's probably worth looking at companies that are, you know, going to achieve, you know, a modest level of growth, but a very well decent value. And if they're a good value, they can't go down that far. If it's easily achievable growth there, and the value's decent, then you know, where can they go? It's like, you know, decent. So who knows? Yeah. But yeah, I did look at those a while back, but I was confused as to why. When I looked at it, I looked on, but we need to change the logo actually on Box, because they were Bilby.
Oh, dear. Was the thing. And there you go. But I like this. Companies in transition often go under the radar. And, you know, here it is popping out of a screen. Really nice metrics. Have a close look at the business. You see something that's very different to the one that investors, you know, lost a bit of faith in some years ago. And yet the market is, you know, seemingly yet to catch up. You know, there's been a bit of a bump over the last 3 months, 25% up on the shares. But you know, that's they're the early birds. This is an interesting company in the right place.
Yeah, well, it's true. When you get a company turning around like this, changing their name, and only it's two bits to that. It's, first of all, like I said, it's under the radar, and secondly, it can be sort of tarred with that brush where it's literally been a bad performer previously or had problems previously, and so it's people keep it at length, at arm's length, for two reasons, don't they? But how much cash they got there?
They got a small amount of debt.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Almost.
No. So nothing to worry about. Debt had been a problem for the group in the past. So,
yeah.
Okay. a lot of the past problems are gone. And as I say, it's focused on the right areas. Things that the government is really, really trying to push to hit those 2050 net zero targets, and also address that the housing target that we have, and also the levelling up, agenda, the regeneration of, what if we're honest about it, we have lots of problem towns in the UK that need some serious attention.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, on the regeneration thing, one thing that took a bit of a knock recently was the announcement that smart motorways are no longer going to be done. I think for a while, I don't understand. We've had literally a motorway for as long as I can remember. It's been 50 mile an hour limit because they're doing the smart motorway. And I don't understand what a smart motorway is. It's just basically using the hard shoulder as a lane.
That's it. It
doesn't seem very smart to me, because if you break down, you've got a car up your backside or something. To me, that's not very smart. That's a bit dumb. And now they've just decided, they're not very safe, actually, these smart motorways. They're not very smart at all. So why would they stop doing them? So that must hit a lot of companies, isn't it?
Certainly those in the construction side of things, in the bigger contractors. I mean, I guess what was happening there was the government was looking for a way to increase road capacity without building new roads, which is, very, very expensive. And you're right. I don't think it's very smart. In fact, I think one of the reasons why they've stopped this plan is because it is dangerous. So you might say contractors is going to take a short-term hit here, but actually all it proves is that the government actually cannot scrimp on infrastructure, so needs to build or widen roads. So arguably better news for the contractors, than this sort of plugging the problem with using the hard shoulder as a road, which it should never be used for.
I suspect what tipped the government's hand, sadly, was more the money issue rather than the safety concern. Let's do some other way. Marvellous. Yeah. Cheers for that. John, speak next week.
Speak soon, Justin.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.